I apologize again. Next week I'll try and keep my timing correct. I got it all wrong this week. We are in Yehoshua Pedek Bet. If I'm not mistaken, we've learned the first few psukim. And we talked about the mission of the miraglim that are sent by Yeshua. We did describe the difference between the miraglim in the days of Moshe and the miraglim that are sent by Yehoshua. That we did discuss, right? We also pointed out that there was extreme fear in the city. Did I point out the fact that? All right, two more things that have to be said here. I don't believe we pointed out the fact that this mission turns out to have been a mission unnecessary. Did I point that out? All right. Here is another one of the little keys to unlock the understanding of certain parshiyot in Tanakh. And for this, I'm going to need to take you back to the first chapter in Yehoshua. What was the structure of the first chapter of Yehoshua? The structure is from the beginning. The first nine psukim from the beginning of Yehoshua until the end of Pasuk 9 is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Yehoshua. Tells him Chazak Vematz three times, you're going to cross the Jordan, you're going to wage war, teach them Torah. In Pasuk 10, Yehoshua commands the Shotrei Ha'am Lemar, he commands the officers, the police force, to go through the camp. Go through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions, because in another 3 days you are crossing the Jordan. Another 3 days you're going to cross the Jordan to inherit the land, to conquer the land that God has given you as an inheritance. Now watch. Pasuk 12. Something extremely important is happening in Pasuk 12. V'laruveni v'lagodi v'lachatzi shevet ha-Menashe omar Yehoshua leimor. To Reuven, to God, and half the tribe of Menashe, Yehoshua said, so saying. There is something very interesting about the structure of this pasuk. In a sense, what we should do is compare the structure of Pasuk 12 to the structure of Pasuk 10. Take a look at Pasuk 10 again. Pasuk 10 begins with the verb. By Yitzav Yehoshua, Yehoshua commanded Shotrei Ha'am Lemar. Wait a minute. In Pasuk 12, the verb is at the end of the Pasuk. And to Reuven and to God and half a tribe of Menashe, Yehoshua said. Why doesn't Pasuk 12 begin Vayomer Yehoshua? Wouldn't that be the normal way? And Yehoshua said to Reuven, to God, and half the tribe of Menashe. Or for that matter, in Pasuk 10, it could have said Ve'et Shotrei Ha'am, and the police force of the Yom, Tzivor Yehoshua Leimor. Yehoshua commanded. What's the difference between the verb at the beginning of the Pasuk, as in Pasuk 10, and the verb at the end of the Pasuk, second half of the Pasuk, as in Pasuk 12? Grammatically, it's simple. When we are following a chronological order, then the verb comes at the beginning of the Pasuk, which means Pasuk 10. First nine psukim, God speaks to him. As soon as God speaks to him, by Yitzhak Yehoshua, Yehoshua commands the people, so saying. What's happening in Pasuk 12? Do you know what Pasuk 12 means? To Reuven and to God, and half the tribe of Menashe, Omar Yehoshua, Yehoshua had said. You would call this, in Hebrew, a flashback. You ever heard of a fleshbag? That's what they call it. Pasuk 12 is to, we are not following now in the chronological order, but to Reuven, to God, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Yahushua had said. Do you? It's not merely grammar that's important here. What's important here is what's taking place. And it means it's going to affect the mission of the spies, because there's a problem with the mission of the spies. If everything here, chapter Aleph and Bet, talking Aleph and Bet of Yahushua, following chronological order, we've got a problem. It would seem, according to the Psukim, the mission of the spies could have taken 5 days. There's a day for them to travel till they get to Yericho. They're there overnight. They're not even there overnight. They're there part of the night. Rachav sends them out. In chapter 2 it says that Rachav sends them out and tells them to hide in the mountains for 3 days until the pursuers are going to check. After 3 days, you can safely leave your hiding place in the mountain and go back to the camp. So it would seem there's a day on traveling to Yericho. There are 3 days that they're hiding in the hills, and another day to get back to the camp. That's 5 days. Now, that creates a terrible problem, because it means the following. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Yahushua? On the 7th, the 30th day after the death of Moshe. It's the 7th day of Nisan. That was Pasuk 1 to Pasuk 9. Pasuk 10, Yahushua tells the people, in another 3 days we are crossing the Jordan. And what day are we crossing the Jordan? The 10th. If he sends the Meraglim after that, if we follow in order, so you know what? You know when the Meraglim are going to return to a camp? They're going to return to the camp on the 12th of Nisan. So first of all, there isn't going to be any camp there. They will all have crossed already beyond their way to Yericho. But it says in chapter 2 that they returned to the camp and they gave the report to Yahushua. So the Malbim says, we are not following a chronological order. The chronological order stops at the end of Pasuk 12. In other words, the first 9 psukim, God speaks to Yahushua. Then Yahushua commands the officers and the police, go through the camp and tell them that in 3 days we're crossing. Pasuk 12 tells us a flashback. Do you know how far the flashback goes? Until the end of chapter 2. Do you know what Yahushua had done before? He had spoken to Reuven and to God and half the tribe of Manasseh, and he sent the Meraglim, and the Meraglim returned. Do you know what has happened here? This is what has happened. Yahushua at first assumes that the entry into Eretz Yisrael is going to be in the normal way in which conquering armies enter and attack. B'derech HaTeva, it's going to be in the natural course of events. In the natural course of events, then you know what? He has to make sure that he has all of the soldiers that he needs. It means also that he's going to send scouts. Those are the ways in which you go about waging a normal war. So you know what? During the 30 days, while it was still yet during the Avel of Moshe, it may have been the third or the fourth of Nisan. He already spoke to Reuven and to God and shared the tribe of Manasseh to make sure that all of their men are going to be ready for the thrust into Eretz Yisrael. He has sent Meraglim. The Meraglim are off on the other side of the Jordan, and on the 7th day of Nisan, God appears to him and tells him, the way I was with Moshe, I will be with you. Do you know what Hashem is telling him? Your entry, Yahushua may have had them preparing pontoon bridges to cross the Yarden. He doesn't know that the river is going to split and become like dry land. Do you know when he knows that? When God appears to him and he speaks to him and he tells him, as I was with Moshe, I'm going to be with you. So you know what happens? On the 7th day, that means
Yahushua, beginning of Yahushua, first 9 psukim, Hashem speaks to Yahushua and tells him, I'm with you.
Immediately, Yahushua commands the Shotrei Ha'am, the police, and he tells them, go through the camp and tell them, make all of your preparations, in 3 days we're crossing the Yarden. Beginning with Pasuk 12, in the first parak, is the flashback. And to Reuben and to Gad and Hatzi, Shevet and Asher, Yahushua had spoken earlier before he knew that God is going to be with him. Before God appears to him, he had already spoken to Reuben, to Gad and Hatzi, Shevet and Asher, and he got them to prepare their troops. He sent Meraglim. The Meraglim returned. At the end of chapter, I pointed out last week that their cover was blown so quickly, they only walked into the city. Not only that, it turns out to be mission unnecessary. So what's the whole point of Perek Bet in Yahushua? I can make the two Meraglim who fall all over each other. I mean, those pots and pans reverberate through Yericho. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. What was the point? What was the point?
Dies on Zion Odor.
Zion Nissen, the end of the 30 days you made Edel Moshe, God speaks to Yahushua. Those are psukim 1 through 9, first 9 psukim of Sefer Yahushua. On that same day, Hashem finishes speaking to Yahushua. Yahushua is told that God is going to be with him. He immediately tells the entire camp, prepare yourself, in another 3 days we're crossing the Jordan. Beginning with Pasuk 12, the Maldebrand. Beginning with Pasuk 12, we have the flashback to. And how do we know that it's a flashback? Because the past perfect is being used. It's not a simple. And he said, to Reuven and to God and to Hatsi, Shevet Manasseh, he had said. That's why the verb is at the end of the Pasuk. When had he spoken to them? Before God appeared to him on the 7th day of Nisan and told him, I'm going to be with you. He assumed that he's going in like a normal conquering army. So he has to have all of his troops. If he has to have all of his troops, then he needs Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. He has to send Meraglim. So everything starting from Pasuk 12 in the first parak through the entire second parak is the flashback. Now let me point out something to you.
Why don't you point something out? Let me always point something. The Pashas told us, huh? Is that the next one? Yeah, after Chayis Dora comes told us.
Magnificent. Magnificent. The beginning of Pashas told us. Watch. I'm going to show you something. Beginning of Pashas told us the twins are born. Yaakov and Esav, right? Yitzchak loved Esav, Rivka loved Yaakov. Pasuk 29 is where the trouble begins. You have the beginning, Perek 25 in Bereshit, Pasuk 29. Vayochet Yaakov Nazir. Yaakov cooked a pot of lentils. Vayochet Esav and Asadet. And Esav came from the field, for who I gave, and he's exhausted. By Yomer, Esav and Yaakov, Esav said to Yaakov, Halitaini nomi ha'adom ha'adom azeh. You need to eat from this red stuff. And ki ayefa nochi, because I am exhausted. Al kain, therefore, Korah Shemo Edom, he called his name Edom. That we may explain maybe when we come to the class on Parsha. It's next week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. By Yaakov said, Nichra chayomet b'korach ha'li, send me your birthright. I'm going to go die. What do I need the birthright for? Now, one of the big problems of this parasha, right? I mean, an anti-Semite would look at the pasuk, here his brother, stark from hunger, hinei anochi holech lamut. And you know, you can even have visions of Yaakov. Esau here,
have a whiff of this.
No pot of lentils for you until you sell me your birthright.
The picture that you get is of somebody.
Jew as a verb, to Jew somebody. In other words, this is what
Yahweh. Yeah, kind of works. In a sense, this is what it seems Yaakov is doing.
Are you going to sell the birthright?
Okay. Wait a minute. Stop. I'm going to please you have to sign it in triplicate. You know? Lisa, you don't have your chotemet. Don't you know that without a chotemet, nothing goes? Stop. Watch.
Yom Yaakov. Yaakov said, Yishovali Kayom. Swear to me. By Yishovalo. By Yimkers Bechorosol Yaakov. Look at the next puzzle.
It could, if everything is following in chronological order, it should have said, Vayitain Yaakov, and Yaakov gave him to eat. Every other verb at the beginning of each pasuk, the verb came first. The only place in this parasha where the verb comes second is V'Yaakov Natan. Do you know what Yaakov Natan means? Yaakov had given. He had already given it to me. He gave him not only is it Adoshim, he gave him bread, he gave him everything. The first thing he did when he came to the house and he sees his brother is dying of hunger, he gives him to as my brother.
The whole thing is the understanding of the psukim. The Yaakov Natan is a flashback. Because it could have said by Yitain Yaakov just as it said by Yomer Yaakov, by Yomer Esav, by Yomer Esav, by Yomer Yaakov. Every place, by Yosef Yaakov,
every verb in the parasha precedes the noun. When this rule of verb first or verb second has unlocked to us the beginning of all, the whole beginning of Sefer Yoshua, and it has answered for us one of the terrible, terrible questions that one has to ask on this at the beginning of Parshas Tolos. So it really means the whole question is no question.
No question.
Yaakov never for a moment held his brother in waiting. No. I'm not going to give you anything to eat until you pay for it as the first. But you're going to sell me your brother. Which now takes us back to Sinai. But now we have a big question in Yoshua. If the whole mission was unnecessary, why did they write it? What do I need it for? Yes.
No, but
that's
Yaakov Eva, then why, if he already had
the food? Because he can't tell them about it, that's the whole point. Even if he's eaten, that's the whole point. And that's why that Pasuk is able to say, by Gidus Esav HaSachara. If not, he could have always claimed, I gave it under, I saw it under duress. It wouldn't even be legally valid, the whole sale of the birthright. On the contrary, he didn't care, it made no difference there. You see, now that it's over, I have a sneaky suspicion that it meant, first of all, and what's wrong with it to me?
I'm remembering that this is your original.
No, I think that bringing the two together, yes, in other words, Yahushua and that, bringing the two together,
okay,
that's me.
In understanding,
yes, that's me.
No, a technique.
That's me. It may be Rav Samson of Folhersh. I'm not sure. Take a look. Maybe. I don't know why that name comes now to. In Yehoshua, it's the Malvin, who also does the. Who is similar in that respect.
Could be the Malvin.
Huh? I don't remember. You know what? I don't remember. That guy could take me. So I give me.
Very
good. Very good. Once you have. I thought somebody was going to ask me this question. What's the first pasuk in chapter 2 of your. First word in chapter 2 of Yahushua?
Vayishlach.
There, the verb comes before. So you can ask me, my whole chart went down the drain? No. In other words, once you begin with a word, with a pasuk, that's past perfect and begins the flashback,
So then everything afterwards in the flashback, we don't have to keep saying, and he had. Once you say, and he had, then everything follows in chronological order after that. You have it here, and you have it there. By Yaakov it says, V'Yaakov Natan, Le'esav Lechem Nizid Adashim. Now you can say everything in order of the flashback. He ate, and he drank, that's fine. Because I've already taken you back in time by saying, V'Yaakov Natan, Yaakov had given. Now you don't have to say, Esav had eaten, and Esav had drunken, and Esav had... You don't have to say that anymore. The moment you have the past perfect, the Yaakov Natan, you are taken back in time, and everything said until the end is back in time.
And what is the end?
The end comes. Take, like over here. By Yehid, over here it says, by Yehid Rav Ba'aretz, there was a famine and land, something new was starting. At the beginning of chapter 3 in Yahushua, by Yashkin Yeshua, okay, there's something new that's happening. And in addition to that, the fact that all of chapter 2, this is really what undermines the Malbim's Shabbat, the second chapter in Yeshua, is the fact that the timing never works out well. The timing is difficult. If we have to assume that it's been the 7th of Nisan, and only after that he sends the Meraglim, and they have a 5-day journey back and forth. They're going to come back on the 12th of Nisan when Jews have already crossed the Yarden. And what's going to happen at the end of chapter 2? They come back, they give the report, and then it says the next morning, Yahushua gets up, 3rd chapter, and they begin the march to the Yarden. They're not back on the 8th of Nisan. If they are sent in the order as it's said over here, they're not back on the 8th of Nisan. That's for sure that they're not back. And according to the order of the Pesukim, they come back to the camp, and the next morning the camp starts moving toward the Yarden. Couldn't be. But if we look at it as, all of it, as part of the great flashback, the story, and the story, there's the Hashkafa behind it. In other words, there were steps that Yehoshua had to take if he assumed, that is when he assumed, that the entry into Eretz Yisrael is going to be by natural means, that they're going to wage war. So then what do you have to do? You need two things. Prepare your army and send up your scouts. That's right. He already has to prepare himself. In other words, even during the 30 days. He has to do, in other words, he's not ready to take the major step, but some things he has to do. That's right. Going to the mountain, that's what he has to do.
So, you were starting this conversation with the whole mission was unnecessary.
Thank you very much for bringing me back precisely to the point that I wanted to get to. So what was the purpose?
Maybe Hashem needed to see him, but he was willing to do it.
You're right, but I want to go one step further. I believe that the whole purpose of chapter 2, the Fiyam Yudaki, this is gold. Okay? This is gold. Watch what you call me. The purpose of chapter 2 is to introduce us to one of... So, and I spoke about Rachav a year ago in a Haftarah Shiur. I'm just going to do Rachav briefly now. Rachav is one of the most unusual women. Let's say the following. I'll make it this way. Who is the dominant figure in the first parak of Yehoshua? Yehoshua. Who is the dominant figure in the second parak? Let's not kid ourselves. Remember, the Meraglim, even their names are not mentioned. We don't know who they are. Yehoshua at the end of the chapter is, and at the beginning of the chapter is, you know, sort of, he sends a mission and he listens to the report. The dominant person in the whole chapter is Rachel. So I'll read to you the Gemara. The Gemara says the following, and this may very well a Gemara and a Medrash. A Gemara in Masechet Megillah. The Gemara says the following. Dalid Amid Bet. Very good. Yud Dalid. Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Nachman. Huldah. There was a prophetess by the name of Huldah. Huldah, the Gemara says, Rav Nachman says, Mibnei Boneha Shel Yehoshua Haita. Huldah was an enikel of Yehoshua. And he brings a Gzeira Shava, so to speak. You're going to become experts in Gzeira Shava. K'tiv, it says, Hacha, that her name was Ben, one of her ancestors was Ben Charchas, U'K'tiv Hasdam, and it says by Yeshua that he was buried Betimnat Chodes. Chodes, Charchas. Eitvei Rav Eina Saba Rav Nachman. Rav Eina Saba asked a question on Rav Nachman. We learned another Gemara that says, Shmona Nevi'im, Vehen Kohanim, eight prophets who are Kohanim. Yotsumi Rochav Hazona came out of Rochav Hazona. Do you hear? Eight prophets Nevi'im, prophets Kohanim, came out of Rochav, the Eluhim. Neriya, Baruch, Seroya, Machseya, Yirmiya, Chilkiya, Hanamel, and Shalom. Those are eight Nevi'im who are also Kohanim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af Chulda HaNevi'ah, Chulda HaNevi'ah was also Mimnei V'Nahir Shol Rachav. So the Gemara is asking a question. You just told me that Chulda was an enikel of Yehoshua, but we learned that Chulda was an enikel of Rachav. And for the Gemara, excellent. Yehoshua married Rachav. Ki yikach ish isha. Yehoshua married Rachav. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says, Mini minach, from what you said and from what I said, from the two of us, Tistai and Milta, that's when we're going to arrive at a conclusion. The Igaida, he converted her. The Igaida, she converted. Venozbo Yehoshua, and Yehoshua married her. This was a marriage made in heaven. Why was this a marriage made in heaven? So first of all, you have to know, what do we see, just if we read the Pesukim, what emerges from reading what Rachav, here we are, Perek Bet, let's go back to Perek Bet. Perek Bet of Yehoshua, he speaks to them. Pasuk 8, Vehema Tereb Yishkohim, before they'd gone to sleep, Vehi Alta Aleim HaAgag, she went up to them on the roof. Vatomer El HaAnoshim, she said to the men, Yadati, I know, Ki Natan Hashem Lachem Et HaAretz, God gave you the land, Vehi Nafla Imatchem Aleinu, and your fear has fallen upon us, Vehi Namogu Kol Yoshvei HaAretz Mipneichem, all of the inhabitants of the earth have melted from before you. Ki Shamanu, we heard, Et Asher Hovish Hashem Et Me Yamsuf Mipneichem, we heard that God had dried up the waters of the Yam Suf before you. Do you know what she's recalling to memory now? Something that happened 40 years earlier. Her memory is vivid, clear. In other words, she's not merely giving them a report as to how we feel right now. As far as she is concerned, this was the fact from 40 years earlier. And we know what you did, L'shnei Malchei HaMori Asher Be'Eber Yadayim, right now. We know, she says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki Hashem Elokechem, Hu Elokim B'Shamayim Imal, He is God in heaven above, Ba'al Ores Mitachat. 40 years earlier, who was able to see clearly? Yehoshua and Kalev. The maidservant, right? And Yehoshua, right, when Moshe sent the Meraglim, right? So 10 of them came back and said, no, we'll never be able to do it. Who said we can do it? Yehoshua said. No, there are two people who had great vision, Yehoshua and Rachav. Can you imagine this woman of ill repute in Yericho, for that matter, she may even have clearer vision than anybody else. Yehoshua was there at the Yam Suf. She wasn't. You know what? The Medrash points it out. the Medrash says about Rachav. There are a few beautiful Medrashim, but they're gorgeous. The Medrash says there were three goyim who made very, very special statements. The first one was Yisro. What did Yisro say? The Medrash goes in the following. Yitro Amar, Yitro said, Ki Godol Hashem Mikol HaElohim. God is greater than I was therefore able to say, I tried them all. Godol, God is greater than all of the deities on the face of this earth. Naaman, there was the guy Naaman who came to Elisha and was healed from his leprosy by Elisha. So what does it say over there? Hineinu yadati, I know, ki ein Elohim b'chol ha'aretz ki in b'Yisrael. There is no God throughout the earth except the God of Israel. Rachav said more than all of them. She said, Hashem Elokeichem, God your God is God in heaven and God on earth. Yitro was only able to say that God is greater than all of the other deities. He tried them all and he found God to be greater. Naaman said, on earth, the only God is the God of Israel. Rahab said more than all of them. She said, your God, I know that your God is the God in heaven above and in earth below. So the Medrash says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeRahab, God said to Rahab, At Amrit, you said, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokim, you said, the God of Israel is God. Nicho Ba'aretz, I can understand that you say on the face of this earth. You've experienced things on the face of this earth. Shema b'Bashamayim Mimal. How do you know b'Bashamayim Mimal? How do you know that I'm the greatest God in heaven above? But what? She had made a leap of, call it a leap of a faith. Shema, is it possible that you said something, Mashalo Ra'id Be'einayich, you said something that you didn't see with your own eyes? Chayecha, I swear, Shebanayich Omeid V'roe, Mashalo Ro'o Hanavim. Your children are going to arise and see what the prophets didn't see. You know, she had, because you had such an ability, an intellectual ability to see, the blessing is going to be, you're going to have children that are going to see. Now, according to this Medrash holds that even Yechezkel was not mentioned by the Gemara. Yechezkel was also one of the descendants of Rachav. And he saw something that none of the other prophets saw. He saw the Maisa Merkava. He saw the very heavenly throne. What's the Medrash telling us? Rachav is a woman with an uncanny ability to see the truth. Who else has this great ability to see the truth? Yoshua. Perek Aleph of Yoshua is Yoshua. Perek Beit of Yoshua is Rachav. That's a marriage made in heaven. And it's more than that. The whole purpose of the Perek is not only to tell us about Rachav, but to make sure that Rachav is going to be saved. One person and her entire family have to be saved from Yericho. In that sense, Yehoshua sends the Meraglim, but he doesn't know that the purpose that they're going for is completely different. In other words, in a sense, what would we say, Mensch tracht, in God lack, the Mensch schickt, and God has his own plans. Yehoshua thinks that he's sending Meraglim in order to spy out the land and find out where the Jews can enter the land and how they should enter the land. You know what? He's sending Meraglim to find himself a Kala. It would never have occurred to him.
So what you're saying was that the Medrash of the Chukwa...
Yeah? I didn't say that. I never said that. Never said it. She wasn't. On the contrary, she's saying things that she didn't see. But what's interesting, huh? This is a Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni, brings it right here. And there's another. Omru, another Medrash. Omru bat yud shanim haita kishyatsu mi yischol mi mitzchayim. She was 10 years old when Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt. V'zonsa. Wait a minute. That's right. V'zonsa kol arboim shana shahayu Yisrael b'midbar. She was a woman of ill repute all the 40 years the Jews were in the midbar. L'sof hamishim shana, at the end of 50 years, she was 50 years old. Nidgaira. She became a giyoret. Omra lefonav. She said before him, Ribbeinu shel olam, b'shlosha chatasi lefanecha, all of these years I sinned in three things. Benida, b'chala, u'b'hadlakat haner. What she really means to say is that at age 10, I already sensed that there is a God, and the God of Israel is God. I sensed it. I should have been Megayer 40 years ago, but I didn't do it. So you know what, Ribbeinu shel olam? B'shlosha mecholi, forgive me with the following three. In this perek, there are three things: chevel, chalon, and choma. She's going to take a chevel, a rope, and she's going to send the meraglim down the chevel, out of the chalon, the window of her house, which is in the choma, in the wall of Yerushalayim. For those three acts of chesed, forgive me. And the end was, of course, that she was saved. So that the whole perek, the purpose of the whole perek is to tell us about Rachav. Really, it in a sense, it's the beginning of Tanakh. We're talking, can you imagine all the Nevi'im? Yirmiyahu comes from her. Huldah comes from her. Yecheskel comes from her. We're talking about Nevi'im and Kohanim that all come from her. And incidentally, it means that, you know how Kohanim come from her? The Gemara in Megillah asks another question. Seems there's a pasuk in Devarim that there was no he had no child. Yehoshua had no child. So the Gemara says he didn't have sons, but he had daughters. So now if he has daughters, the daughters can marry a Kohen, and therefore the descendants later on are going to be Kohanim Nevi'im. Because her children after her are already mutter to everybody.
But it's just interesting that a woman was that kind of wife.
It was not God who chose Rachav, it was Rachav who chose God. You know what the pasuk is really telling us? I would say that what emerges in this chapter is the full tragedy of the Meraglim 38 years earlier. If Rachav Hazona in Yericho is able to see, and 10 Gedolei Yisrael were not able to see, that's a condemnation of the Meraglim. She is able to describe 40 years later with absolute clarity and freshness HaKadosh, Klal Yisrael crossing the Yam Suf. And to her, that has made a tremendous impact on her. An impact on her to the extent that she felt all of those 40 years that she should have been the guy. If you can ask me, where does she get this ability to see things so clearly? I shouldn't even have asked the question. I don't have a good answer for it yet. It just means that on some level, if a person wants to see, we're able to see. For that matter, there may be many truths that we feel, and there's some place in our neshama, but we can't always act on them. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. You, what? I like that one. Yeah, in other words, but she was already, maybe, you're going to say the contact with a Jew made all the difference, the fact that a Kolev and a Pinchas. The Medrash, incidentally, she's part also of a group of women. The Medrash ends up by saying that there are women who were Giyorot Chasidot, and the list includes Hagar, Osnat Bat Potifera, who became the wife of Yosef, Tzipora. Now this Medrash holds Shifra and Pua. not everybody holds that Shifra and Pua were Yocheved and Miriam. Rashi brings that that's one medrash. There's another medrash that Shifra and Pua were two Egyptian women who were simply not, in other words, to them, morality and life was more important than the command of the king of Egypt to destroy children. Bat Paro, Rachav, Rut, and Yoel, Eshet Chever Akeni, who kills Sisra. In other words, there were Giyorot who were Chasidot. The secret of Rachav, I don't know. So what am I going to do with all of them? Hogar Taka and Osnat, and all of them were raised in terrible society. It means that man does have the ability to rise above the surroundings in which he finds himself. Rachav was able to do it. As I said, chapter Aleph, huh? Didn't want to recommend it. That's why I'm afraid to say it, because one can fall and remain fallen. It means, yes, but in that sense it means one can fall and still rise. In other words, there's no such thing as a neshama being lost. A neshama can rise even from Rachav. Yes?
But in our time today, our
So therefore, obviously we have to, I'll tell you, I have to give, I have to go one step further or so. If Yehoshua had a tremendous ability to see, he saw what a tayere Yiddish mama Rachav was going to be. I mean, if he can see great things and God speaks them, so he knows that what Rachav really has. Aside from the fact that the Gemara, the Pasuk says it, and the Gemara said, wait, Gemara says, Gemara and Megillah. Oh, and there, right over here, Gemara says, Arba Noshim Yefeifio told Hagu Baalam, there were four beautiful women. Four beautiful women in the world. Arba, Sarah, Rahab, Abigail, and Esther. I mean, all of our connections are coming back, you know, with Sarah and Esther and Abigail and Rahab. That's another. Gemara's going to go on and say that she wasn't that beautiful. There's a fascinating thesis over here. That's a great question. And with that, we'll close. Why isn't Chava listed? Can you imagine that Chava should not have been made by God Himself? She was not the most beautiful woman of all. So Tosfos says that the Gemara is only listing those who were born naturally from a father and mother. Chava was not. That's not fair. But there's a beautiful Chassidish Shavart that says the following: Even Masu Habaynim Haytal Rosh Pina. Even, in other words, that foundation stone. Ma'asu Habonim, that was rejected by the rabbis. The rabbis are the builders. Haita, she was indeed Rosh Pina, the most beautiful one of them all. So, in other words, Chava, who had been rejected by the rabbis and wasn't listed, was really the greatest one of them all. She was more beautiful than all of them. Why isn't she listed? Because Me'et Hashem Haita Zot Kiniflat Ke'eneinu. She was from God Himself, and therefore she is so special in our eyes. She's not listed. But here we're talking about a very, very unusual woman. And therefore, it's the greatness of Yehoshua that he's able to see beyond the fact that she is merely beautiful externally, but that she has a beautiful neshama in there, beneath all of that. I always assume that she has a broadness of vision. She may be living right there in the choma of Yericho. But you know, the ability to see has nothing to do, you know, we say travel broadens. There were great people who were able to sit in their studies, and in their studies they were able to see a whole world.